You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and listening. We are The Real Short Box. My name is Donald, and I am here with very special guest, comic book aficionado Nathan Camp. Thank you for joining, Nathan.
Happy to be here.
And we are discussing Legion of Superheroes. So basically, we did a podcast a little while ago about kind of ridiculous X-Men. And we were talking and you'd mentioned, oh, you know, you think that's bad. There's the Legion of Superheroes. And I was like, oh, my God, you're right. And so we decided to get back together and do a podcast on the Legion. Some of the most ridiculous characters, some of the most ridiculous names, and apparently some of the most ridiculous love interest type situations that either of us have ever heard of. So there's that. For those that are novices to the Legion of Superheroes, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm no like connoisseur of the Legion of Superheroes, but I know most of the, you know, the great hits of character wise, you know, Cosmic Boy, Lightning Lad, Saturn Girl, you know, and so on and so
forth. Well, the big three, that's basically the Legion of Superheroes' version of the Trinity, more or less, you know, that's their, which kind of tells you how things are going. Right? That's their Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman analog.
Yeah, that's true. That's a really good point. Legion of Superheroes, they're a fictional, of course, superhero team. This is straight from Wikipedia, so good luck with this.
That was good of you to clarify American fictional, comic in case books. Anybody thought this was, you know, perhaps based on historical documents or, you know, oh, this sounds very similar to something I had happen to a cousin of mine. Oh, okay.
Right. Legion is a group of superpowered beings living in the 30th and 31st centuries of the DC Comics universe and appears... they first appear in Adventure Comics number 247 back in 1958. Initially, the team was closely associated with the original Superboy characters, Superman when he was a teenager. They have to annotate that. Superboy is Superman when he was a teenager.
Correct.
Portrayed as a group of time travelers.
I would say perhaps one of the greatest, like, breaking of the time stream continuums for what is essentially, like, kind of like a star fucker, like, we want to meet our celebrity superhero, you know? Like, it's a lot of pressure to go back in time and, like, reveal yourself to someone and be like, hey, just so you know, you're the greatest superhero on the planet when you grow up. Like, no pressure or anything, but we have a whole museum dedicated to you. We know how you're going to die, you know, like, don't even sweat that. But we are so impressed with you, dude, that we just had to come out and meet you. Oh, cool. Like, you know, like, how surreal. Like, oh, Kurt Cobain, it is so great to meet you, man. It is such a shame that tragedy you're going to be befalling with in such a short amount of time. Like, oh, what tragedy? Oh, sorry. Yeah. What was that, sir? Huh?
What?
Can I run that by me one more time?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm living a really good life right now.
Yeah. Me and my girlfriend. Oh, yeah. You're not going to like how that pans out for you, bro. Like, what? Huh? What? Can I write some of this down? Oh, yeah. No. Don't worry about it. We're not supposed to tell you too much. But, you know, for you, we'll do anything. Like, what?
You're going to forget all about this momentarily. Don't worry about it.
It's a very absurd concept. I love it. I understand Jim Shooter was... if not a main driving force, did a lot to, I guess, revitalize the team. He's at least a big fan of the Legion of Superhero concept, if anyone's familiar with famous comic book personality Jim Shooter, very divisive figure.
Yeah.
But, it's a holdover from a bygone age that also never goes away. That's the thing. Because it has this perpetual appeal of somebody's idea of the future, but it was the 60s, yet we've not altered it very much every time we come to it. And so it's very, very odd, you know. It's like almost like a Blade Runner that never goes out of style, even though it, you know, it was the 1980s version of what they thought 2000s was going to look like, you know.
It's
like,
really,
oh, we still
are
using microfiche.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me that, because the Legion of Superheroes, like you said, they're really stuck in in that era, particularly with their names. And we have talked about this, and you told me that they had tried to reboot and redo the names on some of these characters. And I felt that was an amazing idea, like probably the best idea, because, you know, man, Lightning Lad, like, how would you like to be called Lightning Lad?
I mean, it's better than Lass. You know, the Lasses are rough. A lot of them just go by Kid. Yeah, he went by Livewire for a little bit. You know, it is a better name. I'm not arguing that. But, you know, also, I think that a lot of the fans of the Legion of Superhero are kind of opposed to this sort of change. You know, they don't want... Why would they want a Livewire? I got into this because of Lightning Lad. You know, it's a lot to just tell me one day I'm supposed to now believe in, you know, Livewire.
They haven't all died out yet.
Correct.
The fans of this era. So they're probably, I would say, in their 60s currently, around there. Like,
it is not a series for any basically under 30. It is, and that's, you know, and that's like, I guess, young by comic book fan ages nowadays. I mean, I guess, mm-hmm. unless, you know, but yeah, it is not meant for basically anyone under 30. It is just, again, a relic of a bygone time that's meant to be the future. People are going by Lass and Lad, Kid and Boy. Nobody has a problem with this. Like, one of my favorite aspects of the Legion of Superheroes is, like, it's very optimistic, but also, just, again, so stupid. Like, basically, like, 9 times out of 10, there's somebody on the team who has a power, quote-unquote. It's like, they don't really have a power. It's like their whole planet, everybody who's from that planet has the same ability, and they're just the first member of the team to join. It's a very affirmative action type initiative where, like, everybody here just, you know, it's great. It's the great melting pot, but, you know, it'd be like, it's like, mm-hmm. Superman, you know, like, oh man, Superman, you're so amazing. Well, what if I told you there could potentially be a whole planet of Superman? Why don't we just get all of you guys? Well, you know, it's kind of like first come, first serve. So, you know, why would we need a second Lightning Lad? You know, like, if we already have one guy who's here who can do the lightning controlling, and you know, like, it seems like there should almost be, like, I guess probably, like, yearly assessments to see if we got the best representative from that planet, you know? Like, what if we got the shitty guy who controls electricity? Like, oh, wow, yeah, I can usually, like, create storms and shit. Oh, this guy only is just, like, shooting little bolts? That's not really that impressive. Like, oh, okay. You know,
I'll just give you a little tickle. Yeah, I'll give you a little tickle with that one. Oh, look at that. I just raised your hair on your arms.
yeah. You know, like, oh, you know, okay. So here's one we'll get into as far as, like, a good example of the sort of people. I believe this is a substitute Legion of Superheroes. This is why I felt that they needed to be brought up even above the X-Men in terms of, like, bad characters. The Legion of Superheroes already is not an A-list team by any stretch, but they are so in demand in the future that they have their own dedicated B-team, the Legion of Substitute Superheroes, which, like, mm-hmm. man, what a place to find yourself where you did not make the Legion of Superheroes, considering some of the people who make that team, but you did make the Legion of Substitute Superheroes. It's probably a lot like trying to go as, like, you know, all-pro athlete, and then ending up as one of these, like, teams nobody's ever heard of that, like, just plays, like, you know, 3 games a season.
Like, I've got Karate Kid's first appearance.
And oh, yeah.
It's the same name. You know, in the kid, and I thought it was hilarious. So I got that one. And the only other real first appearances I have of any of these Legion of Superheroes is the Legion of Superheroes. And I believe that came out in 63. And that was issue 306 or 7. I think it was 6. I want to say. And you have some of the most characters. And just to name a few, I mean, Antenna Lad, Chlorophyll Kid, Doubleheader, Dream Girl.
Doubleheader is a rough one. Doubleheader is a real tough. That's a different
that's
time.
A guy with two heads.
Yeah, he's actively arguing with himself. That seems less productive. Like, what? When does this become a power? How does this benefit mm-hmm. the team? Stone Boy, a great character. Imagine the Thing. But when he turns into, when he got turned into the Rock, he never gets to move it again. He is just a statue. That is his ability. He can make himself essentially briefly invulnerable, but at the cost of being a conscious, sentient Rock who just is stuck in place. Very similar to like Kirby doing his down B special in Super Smash Brothers. Thank you, guys. I really worked to make that reference in here, and I'm really happy I got it in. Worth every penny.
I'm really, really... I feel like, what was it, Mystery Men? You remember that movie when that came?
Yes, yes, yeah. Mystery Men, yes, and yeah. No, very much so in that mold. So
Right? Yeah, like they took that idea, the ideal of the Legion of Superheroes, and they were like, let's just go even more ridiculous. But then I don't think that they really realized that there was the Legion of Substitute Heroes. So it was really hard to go more ridiculous. But I believe that like one of them was the Invisible Kid or something like that. And he could only be invisible when nobody was looking at him.
Yes, yes. That is very much so. Yeah, that is somebody who would definitely end up on the Legion of Substitute Heroes.
Yeah.
You got people like Kid Psycho. Well, what is Kid Psycho? He's got a guy with this big ass head, and he can make force fields that can like even block something as strong as like Superman's punch. Oh, that's cool. Oh, okay. What's the downside? Oh, every time he uses his ability, he loses a year of his life. Oh, okay. Well, you know, he got pretty quickly booted from the team because that's like, you know, let's put an expiration date on our own team member. Yeah, we've got about five good missions with you before. Well, let's just say we'll be parting ways.
Yeah.
You're going to go your way and we'll go ours.
Expiration boy. I thought what was interesting was the introduction of Tyrock. You remember Tyrock?
Tyrock. Oh, dude.
Not many people remember Tyrock. Tyrock was in the Legion of Superheroes, and he was made his first appearance back in Superboy in 1976, and it was in the 200s when he appeared, early 200s, somewhere around there. And it was Jim Shooter. Interesting enough that they stated now that whether this is true or not, that's subjective. But Jim Shooter had been prevented from introducing black characters into the Legion in the 60s, objected to the characterization of Tyrock. Tyrock was very, I don't know how to say it. He was just very loudmouthed. He that was his power, like reality warping scream. His outfit was absolutely goddamn ridiculous, but it was great for the time. It fit in.
I'm looking
in the
at
70s.
It right now. He's looking like Hypno Hustler a little bit, like very similar sort of feel.
Yes, yes. And it's interesting to me, and I didn't think of it until I was thinking about it. And I was like, man, Tyrock, we have Black Lightning, we have, you know, the Black Panther and stuff. When these guys came on the scene, a lot of them were seen kind of as villains. They started out as villainous, you know, or mistaken for villains. And then they'd be like, oh, wait, you're a superhero too, or you're just trying to help your neighborhood or your people or, you know, your friends, you know, your family, things like that. We want to make sure that we can help you too. And it just felt so like cliched and just overdone in the realm of when it came to African-American characters in comic books. And I could be wrong here, but I feel like that happened quite a bit more than it should have. Maybe it was just because DC happened to do that a lot in general, if you think about it, because DC Comics, their big thing was, oh, this superhero met this superhero, and they, you know, mistook each other for enemies, or one didn't like the other, and then they fought. And then they realized that, oh, we can get along. And then they were fine again, you know, and then they were teamed up to fight a greater, you know, evil. So for the cause of good. And it was just very much a DC formula for the time. And
oh, yeah.
I think that's where when Marvel came about, Marvel said, yeah, we're going to have, you know, infighting and stuff like that within our team groups. That's going to happen. But it's more along the lines of, oh, you know, why doesn't this girl like me? Why am I, you know, trying to fight crime when I could be going out on dates? You know, just like regular kind of everyday Joe type problems that really resonated with the comic book reader of the time.
Yeah.
So I feel like they kind of stole the thunder away from DC in a lot of ways, because DC refused to get out of their own way. They stayed within that very formulaic type of ideal.
Oh, man, I'm looking at the Wikipedia article for old Tyrock here. Nobody's happy with him, not the creator, not the people who wanted black characters in, you know, the Legion. Mm-hmm. And his own creator expressed that, he kept getting stalled off when trying to make a black character. And finally, he's allowed to make Tyrock, and they might as well have named him Tyrone. His words, not mine. Mm-hmm. And then their explanation for why there were no black people in the Legion was that all the black people had gone to live on an island. It's possibly the most racist concept I've ever heard in my life. I mean, it's a segregationist dream, right? So they named him Tyrock and gave him the world's stupidest superpower. Yeah, that's cool. That's that's definitely a way to do it.
God.
It reminds me of a character I think they led away called, I think his name was going to be the Black Bomber. I think it's the character, I think McDuffie or some other black creator fell in love with because they found it so offensive. I believe it was either a racist white guy who would turn into a extremely strong, powerful black guy when he like got angry enough. Like it was his version of the Hulk, which like, you know, I'm not touching the themes on this with like a 10-foot pole. Just acknowledging mm-hmm. that this was the character Black Bomber, I believe. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just okay. Like this is like I appreciate a lot of times the willingness to try and tackle these subjects. You know, that's cool. It's nice that they didn't just remain silent. But, you know, maybe give it like a month to just percolate. You don't have to necessarily be the first one out with a comic book on race. You know, maybe think through some of the thought process of like giving Lois Lane a machine that turns her black. You know, just think about that for like a minute. Just get, you know, it's great. You've got a story. But just work through it, you know, like, you know, just give it a minute before you decide that has to hit the shelves as is.
Well, it actually was an interesting concept, and I kind of understand where they were coming from a very white community, so to speak. The comic book world then was very, very white. I mean, it was there wasn't too many African-Americans working in the comic book world in that time. But like, yeah, the whole story is I am curious black. It was Lois Lane went to a machine that curled her hair, and, you know, gave her a fro, turned her skin black. And basically she got to experience all the horrible things that happens to African-Americans on a daily basis in that time. And Superman, of course, didn't understand why she was doing it or what was happening, and just seemed confused about the entire thing. And of course, until the end, where, you know, they want to tell the story of how this courageous white woman lived her time as an African-American,
she managed to survive the 24-hour peril.
Right.
The unbelievable hardship of being a black woman for a 24-hour period. Right. So now, rather than having a black woman tell her story, we have this white woman to, you know, explain to everyone that, like,
racism
does exist. Yeah, you know. Application, you know, maybe come back to it.
It's like you're saying, you know, take a moment to think it out. You know,
understand that. People will interpret things from this about who you are and what you think about things, whether you feel that is like intrinsic of you or not, you know, mm-hmm. It's just going to be ways that is read into.
It did not age well. But it is an important piece of comic book history, so to speak, because it does show that they were trying to be, albeit marginally so, they were trying to be progressive in a way. It didn't quite work out, but they tried, you know.
Yeah.
And we do start to see more African-American characters created throughout time. And, you know, I think the introduction of Milestone Comics in DC was a big, you know, a big get. You know, it was a big thing for the creative realm and the African-American community when it came to comic books. But also for DC Comics, you know, in general, just because of characters like Tyrock, where they just failed time after time after time. And they were, you know, well, we have this character that's African-American, you know, we have Steel, we introduced Steel.
Yeah,
you know, don't worry, guys. Like, Steel's great, don't get me wrong, but like we needed more, and we didn't need characters that just were offshoots of a white character. You know, Steel came about because he was saved in the past by Superman. So we have the white savior complex thing going there. And, you know, he decides to devote his life in the using the symbol, the image of the white man that had saved him, if that makes sense. So yeah. Steel, while a very strong African-American character, still was shrouded in the shadows of a white character that he would not exist without. So it just, I get where they were going, and they weren't thinking about race when they did it. And they were like, oh, and he's black. And that's where they went.
I mean, let's do a little bit. I mean, homeboy's name is John Henry Irons, you know?
Yeah.
It's like me being Paul Bunyan Smith, you know? He's like American folklore, like,
yeah.
It's there's a lot going on. I don't know necessarily that the blending of the Superman mythos with this, you know, tale of this superhumanly strong railroad worker was the way to go. I think Steel is a neat character, you know. He's very impressive, you know, as far as your average stat line. But you know, just interesting. What would I say? Interesting, God, not insights, impressions. God, I can't think of the proper word, but
they tried to make him the like the Iron Man of the DC universe for a while. Like within the Justice League, the Justice League was like, we need an Iron Man. You know, like Iron Man is very hot and successful right now. You know, he's doing very well. He's got a movie coming eventually. You know, we hear rumblings of it. Let's put him in the Justice League. And so they put him in the Justice League, and they made him the Tony Stark, the Iron Man of the group. The only problem was is that for a while, if I recall, his original origin, he was just a construction worker.
I mean, it makes sense. It's not like the steel suit is originally it's like essentially just metal plating you put over your skin, and that's supposed to, I guess, work right. Like body armor. Like it's not right. Exactly like it's not like a robotic suit. It doesn't have like a Jarvis or something in there. It's just like body armor more or less, and then just having a big hammer to hit people with.
And they couldn't create a Jarvis like character, I don't feel, for that, because it would be too much of a replication. So they wanted to veer away from that, but they wanted him to be the tech guy. So they had him to where his suit would basically have the same functionality of an Iron Man suit, almost. You know, he would have to put it on, or it would put it, you know, he would stand there and it would be put on him. Because of course, you know, with the Justice League, you get this futuristic technology, and then with his know-how and the futuristic technology, you know, you've created this ultimate suit. I get that, but like, you're right. I mean, John Henry Irons, you know, that kind of stuff. So yeah, the DC Comics in general had a bit of a name problem, and that's when we look back and we circle back around to the Legion, and we just talk a minute about some of these. I mean, like I said, the founding members was Cosmic Boy, Saturn Girl, and Lightning Lad. Then we have the Silver Age members, which would be Triplicate Girl. Later, she was named Duo Damsel, which I thought was even worse.
It's a way to compensate for the fact that one of the triplicates have died.
Yeah.
I mean, Triplicate Girl, I mean, I guess it's a power, yes. It's a very nerfed, like, Jamie Madrox, but, like, they're all just people, you know? Right. I'm not, like, they don't have any special abilities. I'm just making two more of myself. Like, it definitely... watching the Invincible cartoon with duplicate. That kind of tells you how that would go, where like she's often like, you know, making more of herself, but they're just getting immediately pulped, like they're brief human shields before they're wet like smears on the pavement. You know, they don't they're just regular people being thrown into superhero like situations. It's cool they can make unlimited of them, but that will just mean that we have like a bunch of bodies to clean up after the fight.
Just think about this, though. Like, you got these names, right? You have Triplicate Girl. What if you just called her Triplicate? You have Chameleon Boy. What if you just called him Chameleon? You know? Kid Quantum. What if you just called him Quantum?
These are ideas. They embrace the fact they are not grown adults. They think it's cool to acknowledge that they are not yet to be like respected as like peers. That they are going by lad and boy and kid for their whole life.
Bouncing Boy. I mean, bouncing, like, they could have called him the Bouncer, you know? Hey, you know, that's fun. Ultra Boy.
The Bouncer. Oh, man, that reminds me of that shitty PlayStation 2 game that was supposed to be, like, the Final Fantasy, like, killer. Like, hey, you guys had, Final Fantasy 7 on the PlayStation 1. Now get ready for the Bouncer on PlayStation 2. Oh, yeah. Good.
It goes on and on and on, guy. There's Karate Kid. Could have been, I don't know. They could have called him, just karate would have been tough. But Pharaoh Lad, Pharaoh would have been good. Dream Girl, that's a rough one. Matter Eater Lad, just Matter Eater, you know?
I believe DC had to sign off on Karate Kid getting, like, for the actual movie, the Karate Kid series being, giving their blessing to use the Karate Kid name.
That's so kind of them.
Yeah, I mean, a thing that would not be thought of, and is just a fun little bit of lore, Wolverine is notoriously thought of as a ripoff of the Legion of Superheroes character Timberwolf, which predates him by quite a few years.
Mm-hmm.
He was created in the team.
In the 60s, I think back in 63 or 64, Timberwolf was, and Wolverine came along in the 70s. So, yeah. Way before. Timberwolf had superhuman agility and strength. Later on, he had claws and fangs, super senses, and accelerated healing. So, yeah.
Very similar, they play in the same sandbox, and, you know, I'm sure eventually he finds out that he is, the very best he is at what he does, and what he does is not particularly nice. Infectious Lass. Now that's a Legion of Superheroes character. She's a girl immune to all diseases, but is basically an incubator, like a Typhoid Mary. So she poses just as much threat to her friends and teammates as she does to, you know, the enemy. That would get, like, what are the odds you would ever go into work if you knew for, like, a certainty one of my coworkers is almost certainly going to get me sick every time I go in, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Like, how could you, you know, like, there's nothing that can, it's not like there can be a talk, like, hey, you know, your hygiene is deplorable. Like, you know, no, this is not something that can be corrected. This is your reality. If you run into Infectious Lass, there's a 50-50 shot. You're going to just have to, you know, explain that your plans for the weekend are canceled. My favorite.
Somebody member, I wouldn't want to hang out with.
Oh, yeah. My favorite member that never gets enough love. Tenzel Chem, Matter Eater Lad. Matter Eater Lad who could kill Thanos, Matter Eater Lad who would solo Goku, Matter Eater Lad who Superman himself fears. Matter Eater Lad is where it's at. Matter Eater Lad is a guy who can eat anything. This is he has eaten like the equivalent of like Reed Richards' ultimate nullifier. That is how vital he is to the team that he destroyed a thing called the Miracle Machine once by eating it, that everybody else had no idea of how they were going to stop it. And that's just a Matter Eater Lad. He has teeth that are essentially adamantium. They might as well be able to chop through anything. There's nothing they can't eat. And his stomach is essentially a black hole.
He's basically the strongest character of any of them. They treat him like with such disrespect. I mean, he could literally eat them in their sleep. You know, he could destroy anything. I would love to see a story where like he gets exploded, right? And then like the black hole reverses and it starts to suck everybody in. And then basically they're like, oh yeah, there's this part of the universe we can't travel in space. Why? Oh, because Matter Eater Lad was destroyed and the black hole was created, which sucked a bunch of planets in. And, you know, it's just a terrible area to be a part of and blah, blah, blah. But then, like, later it becomes sentient or something. You know, I don't know. There's so many ideas with this character and with the Legion in general. I feel like we have been misled this entire time. And we've had some... And I use the word greats, you know, and it just depends on what kind of a fan you are of what kind of a writer. But in the, what was it, in the 90s, Mark Waid took a crack at it, and they revamped with Zero Hour, the Legionnaires and the Legion of Superheroes. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. So he took a crack at it and failed. And then most recently, they did a big revamp with Brian Michael Bendis, like back in 2019.
Correct.
And at this point, take it or leave it, I feel like Bendis had written himself out of writing. Like, he no longer had any stories to tell. And that's usually when DC goes, oh, we want that guy. I don't know why that is, but they do that. Like, if Marvel, you know, with a contract used to, back when they would do contracts, I don't know if they still do it now. But when the contract with Marvel would run out, DC would just grab them and throw money at them. Not realizing that's always the case.
Both sides are very guilty of, you know, scalping talent once they've probably got their better stories out at whatever the other company was. You know, oh, we'll take a lesser Tom King story. You know, that's fine. You know, they've got their money's worth out of most of these guys.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, when we're talking about like some really, truly great writers, you know, whether it be in the past or present or, you know, if they still have some great stories to tell. But, you know, we've had Paul Levitz really ran with the Legion of Superheroes. He's probably the most prolific writer of the Legion of Superheroes. He's the one you think about primarily when you think about the Legion of Superheroes. A lot of people like him. Jim Shooter. He was 14 years old at the time when he wrote his first Legion story. That was in Venture Comics 346. That was back in 1966 when he wrote that. He then later became the regular writer of the Legion of stories with Kurt Swan doing the art, which is kind of amazing. You know, and then it's amazing that this whole thing has held on for as long as it has and still continues to do so. We've had animated series. We had an animated series like they crossed over with animation. Like, I think it was Adventures, or it was like Superman the Animated Series. They were in that for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. No, they had their own show. They had their own Legion show as well, which was not, you know, something I would have thought anyone was clamoring for, but I it was a treat. You know, I got to see Bouncing Boy and some of the other duds, you know, hang out with their other Legionnaires.
Yeah,
Bouncing Boy, who might as well be considered A-list. You know, he's not a substitute hero. He's prime material.
Yeah, he's one of their prime members. He just goes, turns into a ball and like blows himself up basically and can bounce around. That's his ability. And
that's his deal. He's bouncing.
He's kind of rubbery. He's kind of like a Plastic Man. If Plastic Man only wanted to do one thing.
Yeah, one shape. One shape and one shape only. Mm-hmm. That's what he's got.
And that happened go ahead.
Oh, he's always inflating himself, like, just as like a gag. Like, I think battery lads, like, so, you know, guilty of that too. Like, oh, why are you eating our tools? Oh, just to remind you that I'm Matter Eater Lad? Oh, okay, cool. I mean, you could eat a sandwich or something. Like, I assume, you know, there's no need for, like, roughage. You know, you could still be eating regular food if you wanted. But he's always got to prove things by, like, hey, watch this hammer. I could eat it. Oh, impressive, Matter Eater Lad. I'm going to go talk to somebody else now.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, they had their own series in 2006. They had they've got a new movie that just came out this year with Supergirl.
Correct.
Which I was amazed to see. Legion of Superheroes is what it's called. It's an hour and 23 minutes. Came out this year. You just saw it. You said Supergirl falls in love with Brainiac or something, which is better than her falling in love with her horse.
Correct. Brainiac 5 and Supergirl is, I think, the best pairing they have. That's not saying a lot, considering Supergirl is otherwise paired off with Super Horse, which, you know, creates a lot of problems from an outsider's perspective. I mean, even within, you know, the horse is sentient and was a human being and is now being ridden by a teenage girl who doesn't know that the horse used to be human. You know, there might be some questions of consent. You know, just like, there's a lot of problems with that. But yeah, Brainiac 5, in comparison, has got it all over a horse. I will say that. I don't think that's even questionable. And I think Supergirl would agree with me that if she had to choose between dating her own pet and Brainiac 5, that she would choose Brainiac 5 every time.
And I would hope. I mean, I would. The interesting thing, I think it's, I just want to say, I think it's a great time for comic books in general, just particularly because we've gotten four seasons of a series based off of the Doom Patrol, which is the most defunct X-Men you've ever could imagine. And in fact, that's something we should talk about at another time. Maybe, just Doom Patrol and the success of the TV series, amazingly so, and how they've stayed relevant, or at least in the spotlight at some point or another in the DC universe. It's amazing. And this series is absolutely phenomenal. And we continue to get Legions of Superheroes. We continue to get the stories in film, you know, in television, animation, in comic books. And it's because of the diehard fans. It's because of the people that have a belief in the future being bright. You know, it's because that's something that they were showed when they were a kid, and they had this thought of a unique future like that, and that you know, that they could do something to change the world, and that there are superheroes out there. I don't begrudge anybody for that. I do, again, I'm going to leave you guys with this. I do think that it's time for a change. It's time for an update within the names. We need to get away from the lad and lass and the kid. I think that all needs to go by the wayside. If we can all agree on that, then we can get through it. And I think we can actually bring some relevance to these characters now in the century that we're in, instead of in the past. But I digress. I could be wrong, but that's just my feeling. So what are your thoughts on that, Nathan, before we go?
I will mirror the sentiments of, I think, comic book writer Chris Sims, which is, give us a Karate Kid series where he has to fight a whole planet. That's all. Make it The Raid, but it's a whole planet, and he's got to fight off a whole planet of people. Okay. This is what we want. This is what the fans
get behind that.
Yeah,
that sounds good to me. I like that idea. And there's a lot of ideas, I think, with these characters that can be developed in one-offs and mini-series, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I have a lot of hope for these characters and a lot of sentimentality myself. And I feel like we're just getting started.
They seem prepackaged for James Gunn to want to put his little stink on, you know?
Yes, these guys all seem wrong.
Yeah, like these. I mean, I guess not Arm Fall Off Boy, but somebody very similar showed up in the Suicide Squad movie. You know, as Nathan Fillion's character, who just took his two floating arms and watched them immediately get, you know, torn to shreds.
Yeah, TKD or TDK or something like that. They call
it.
Yeah, detachable arm kid or something like TAK. I don't know. But yeah, it was hilarious. It was great. And it was definitely, he was part of that same story where we got that character named the Citadel, that he could turn into a Citadel, but then he forgot that he was human and he forever remained a Citadel. The saddest Legion of Superheroes.
Horror. You lost your very identity.
Origins comic book series. Yeah.
Oh.
So highly recommend you seek that out. If you want to know the issue number, reach out to me. Reach out to me on any of the podcast platforms. You can reach out to me on our Facebook group, which is Friends of the Real Short Box. We do a live show pretty much every Monday where we do battles. You know, we do prize giveaways, 20 lists, all kinds of fun stuff. Film, comic book, pop culture, you name it, we do it. We do our audio podcast, the one you're listening to like this, almost every week. It's out on Thursdays or Fridays. And you can find us on all the podcast popular platforms, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, you name it, we're on it. Nathan, I want to thank you again for being a guest on here. I know I'm not always the easiest person to talk with, as I get a little sporadic in my explanations when I get super excited, but I appreciate you coming along with me for the ride, as always, and thanks again for that.
Hey, happy to be here, and you know, just don't let it happen again.
Yeah, let's do this again sometime. And to all you out there, if I don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.